police came around last night. They said the dog's been chasing someone on a bike. I said, I don't think it's my dog. He doesn't have a bike.
Je luistert naar Heirloom, de podcast. Hier delen de chefs van over de hele wereld hun nog niet eerder gehoorde verhalen. We beginnen bij het begin. Het harde werken, de offers en natuurlijk momenten van twijfel. Daarna kijken we vooruit. Wat zijn hun dromen en welke inzichten willen ze met jou delen?
Ja, je ziet open een bar.
Oh god, what a terrible idea.
That's...
If you saw how many Worcester brooches I ate this morning, imagine that in a wine bar.
Eating 50 worstenbroodjes a day.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, worstenbroodjes and this legend sitting across the table. His name is Luke Martin. Thanks for having us. We're going to cook this weekend together, right?
Yes.
So people may know you from Heirloom, but where can they know you from besides Heirloom?
It depends. When we're talking about the last half a year has been basically with Heirloom. Before that, I was kind of having a half a year off.
Yeah.
Before that, I sold my restaurant, Pig and Rye, which I'd had for 7 years. And before that, I had a bakery, Sourdough Bakery in Tilburg.
Yeah.
That was started in 2012. And before that, I was a project implementation manager in the ICT department at a call center.
We talked about it.
I don't think nobody knows me from there.
Maybe one or two persons in the world.
Yeah, if they do know me, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah, you had a bakery. Pig and Rye was... also a bakery, but much more than that. But
yeah.
What's your speciality? What makes it so special for you? Like,
well, it again depends what I was doing at the time. Because
yeah, now,
right now, probably barbecues, cooking meat.
Yeah,
which is something I've always loved, but now I get to do it as a big part of my job.
Yeah,
and also baking bread still in a smaller scale.
Yeah, as a site for, so roasting, barbecuing, meat is your speciality.
It'll always be meat and bread, probably.
Meat and bread. Yeah. That's the best combination, I guess. So, and why did you focus on doing that?
What, the meat and the bread?
Yeah.
I guess I love sandwiches. And I also was pretty good at baking.
Yeah.
And it's a logical progression to... Put things in sandwiches, I guess.
put meat in between two pieces of bread. What great passion is driving you now as a chef? Is that the same as the previous question? Or
no, driving me now, there's probably not a lot left driving me, really. I feel like I started out a long time ago. I wanted to have a bakery and then I wanted to have a restaurant.
Yeah.
And that was like my passion, the thing that I wanted the most in the whole world. And then eventually I did that. And then at a certain point, somewhere in beginning of 2024, I'd had enough and decided to sell the place. And since then, I've kind of semi-retired, taken up gardening and just doing stuff that I enjoy, basically.
Yeah, well, retirement and working at Heirloom the whole summer doesn't match up, but I...
Semi-retirement.
Semi-retirement, I can imagine that. Mm. It's having your own place soaks up 90% of your time and energy, I guess.
Yeah, well, everything.
Everything.
Yeah, everything you have.
Yeah.
I mean, even the time, the sort of waking up in the night with insomnia and worrying about personnel and scheduling and orders and paying the bills and the
yeah
rent and everything else.
Yeah. But can you remember when you first discovered that you were good in doing what you do now? Because we talked about being a baker,
yeah,
like really small,
yes,
then growing into like much more serious bakery.
Yeah, I do remember
it was
very exciting.
Yeah,
that would have been not long after we opened the bakery.
Yeah,
as I think
so after the bakery.
Yeah, after we opened.
Yeah,
when I opened, I really didn't know what I was doing. It was a bit of a nightmare for the first couple of months, but I figured it out.
Yeah.
And then we started to make really good bread, started to get quite well known. That was exciting.
Yeah.
But it just, like everything, it wears you down. You feel like you sort of belong to the people that you're making the bread for.
Yeah.
They come in, they want to know why you don't have the one they want and why today is it dark, baked more dark than yesterday and all this kind of stuff. It gets very tiring
yeah.
having to deal with the people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always the stuff that you don't have. Yeah,
yeah.
That, what they want, and yeah. it's weird because you put everything on in doing what you love.
Yeah,
and it's very tiring.
Yeah,
I can remember the same from the toko.
Mm-hmm.
We were the first toko that didn't have satay and rendang at
you
one
didn't
moment.
Have satay?
We didn't.
Oh God!
You didn't have satay. Yeah, because that's the only thing people want, and there's much more to offer. You know, currently, what's your most biggest challenge now? What to do with your free time, or what's your biggest challenge as a chef and an entrepreneur at the moment?
Well, working at Heirloom is every week a completely different set of roles with a completely different chef.
Yeah.
So every week figuring out who the chef is and what do they want and how do they want everything to be is a challenge every week. And it starts on, did start on Monday morning, pretty much just the day after the previous chef has gone home. And then it would already start with quite intense planning, placing all of the orders, making sure everything's there.
Yeah.
And then they arrive and we then have to cook for up to 240 guests in a field with no water and no electric.
So that's the challenge, is about the invited guests and making them the chef and then making them work as best as possible.
Yeah, from my side of it, it's more for the 240 guests that come. They need to get the full Heirloom experience, and the guest chef is a part of that, but they're not 100% of the experience.
Yeah.
So it's making sure that everything is working, from the barbecues to the planches, the outside kitchen, the food. We need to have enough of everything. All of the mise en place needs to be done. So it's quite a big undertaking every week.
Yeah. That's the fun part. What's the thing about your job that you don't like? Really dislike?
You can see how far away the indoor kitchen and the fridges are from where we're sitting.
Yeah.
And imagine walking that 20, 30 times a day.
Yeah.
That's definitely the most difficult part. And just having everything in like three locations, because we have a small prep kitchen, which is also the bakery.
Yeah.
And then we have the shop kitchen where we can also do mise en place and prep before service. And then we have the outside kitchen.
Yeah.
And then we also have the shipping container where we store everything. So that's actually four locations. And then all of the stuff that we have is just spread out across all of those places.
Yeah.
And then you need to have a certain gastronorm tray, and it's obviously not in the place that you need.
Yeah.
So you either have to do without, find something else, or walk, or get in the car and drive to go and get the thing you need.
Takes an hour. Yeah.
It can take a long time.
Yeah. That's for where we are now. That's a big challenge. You don't have anything
exactly.
in one place.
Part of the charm is that we're sitting in a field.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So it's.
Is that also the best thing about this restaurant? I guess it's like you have a lot of freedom here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably.
When are you at your best while working? Where you don't have to walk a lot? There's a lot of trace?
No, I mean, the when am I at my best, or when is the best time to be working?
No, when are you at your best while working?
Probably during service.
Yeah.
When all the barbecues are on and I'm just juggling all of the different warm components that need to be either cooked or reheated or smoked or whatever.
Yeah.
And to have everything ready at exactly the right moment. I mean, like having a standing 10 meters away from the guests with a piece of beef that maybe costs 100 euros and to have to cook that perfectly while everybody's sitting here watching.
Yeah.
And then rest it and make sure that it's nicely cooked and well smoked and well seasoned, and then to bring it in and carve it in front of people, and they can just see at the same moment that I first cut the meat, they also can see that it's perfectly cooked.
Yeah.
That's I think probably my best moment.
we don't have cameras now, but I can see you smile already. Yeah. I think that's pure joy, man.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's all about.
It's still
making, and also making stuff that you haven't made before, when it turns out really, really well, I'm like, fuck, this is nice.
It's also the most challenging thing.
Yeah.
Because I've been cooking for a long time, and I've sort of specialized in many things along the way. So I can do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But cooking a big piece of meat in the dark over fire is, and then having it come out perfectly, is still the biggest challenge.
That's, we don't have it this weekend, but I'm sure we're going to make...
We have to cook the sausages perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
Also, for a large number of people, a lot of sausages, it's always tricky.
And we have a dish with two sausages in it.
Yeah, so. It's a sausage party.
Love it. What do people underestimate about your job in general?
I don't know, really. I mean, I think I might be underestimating the guests, but I think a lot of guests arrive and the first thing they see is the tent, and then they come and sit down and they see the outside kitchen and they see three or four of us standing there getting things ready or playing around with the barbecues or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe they perceive that as the complete workload.
Yeah.
But actually the service, like in any restaurant, the service here is 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
That's maybe the last 3.5 out of 23 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, they just think magically all the food appears.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I talked about this also with colleagues, but also with people who don't have a clue what's happening in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, when do you start? Maybe 9, maybe 8:30. But why? The restaurant opens at 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was baking at 9 o'clock this morning. It's now 1.
Yeah.
And we'll be done at 11.
Yeah.
Probably.
14 hours.
Yeah.
It's ready for bed. Mm. Did you have some people in your career that you really looked up to, or did you learn like a skill or something from a specific person, or was it always you?
It's a tricky one. I mean, I know I follow a lot of chefs on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm friends with a lot of chefs on Instagram who are doing amazing things. So Chef Callum Franklin springs to mind, the guy, the famous pâté en croûte maker.
Yeah.
He basically taught me in the beginning how to do the most basic stuff, most basic part of building a pâté en croûte. So that's definitely a big one.
Yeah.
But so many techniques you can just figure out from the internet or just by doing it.
Yeah.
At Pig and Rye, I used to just spend a ridiculous amount of money on buying things to try them out and then would almost never put it on the menu.
Yeah, I can imagine that. That's good. About jokes, we're going to have some jokes later.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a legendary joke book.
Yeah.
We're going to have something for that later. And also, this podcast is about for the next generation,
mm-hmm.
like young chefs or cooks who want to become great cooks and better chefs. What's your biggest dream? We talked about it a little bit earlier, what's your biggest dream now?
I always had for a long time, I had a dream of having a farm, where there was also a restaurant, and that the restaurant will be supplied by the produce from the farm and by the animals from the farm,
mm-hmm.
like a completely self-sufficient restaurant. I've been thinking about this for years, but it's always been too big for me to manage on my own. So it's kind of always been this unobtainable dream. But maybe now with Heirloom in the future, we can open the Heirloom farm.
Looking at the guys over here. Yeah. See Gijs with his big smile.
Gijs with his big plans.
And that's nice.
But yeah, so the idea would be that we have a restaurant that the complete menu, as far as possible, is from the farm.
Yeah.
So dairy, vegetables, animals, chickens, cows, pigs.
And what would be your role in that dream? You're going to be the farmer, the chef, or
the main overseer of everything, I think. Bring back my old IT project management days.
Yeah.
And just try and manage everything. Cause it's a huge project to have all of your produce ready throughout the summer and to have the menu changing to coincide with it and to make sure that the animals that you want to send to slaughter are going to be ready at the moment that you want them.
Yeah.
That you need to have enough chickens, they need to lay enough eggs. Yeah, it seems like the ultimate most complicated thing.
Yeah, but it will suit you like a glove.
I think so.
Yeah, we know each other for quite some time, but this will be your ultimate job. Yeah. Do you have something you would like to pass on to a next generation? Because we're working here with Gilles.
Yes.
I heard he's going to be your sausage padawan.
Yeah, he's my sausage padawan.
Yeah.
And basically for our new project, Oink.
Yeah.
It's basically the butcher's shop within Heirloom.
Oink,
we're now producing sausages every week from whole pigs. So a whole biologisch pig,
yeah,
debone it completely and turn the entire thing into a gourmet sausage.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being that instead of using all of the leftover pieces of meat that you normally get in your sausage, we would use the premium cuts and make a much more delicious, higher welfare sausage with some really insane, delicious flavors.
Yeah.
And then Gilles is involved in that with me. And I hope that there are a couple more people who are also going to be coming to work and learn how to do the deboning and the sausage making.
Yeah. So, pause on craft.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Taste.
So yeah. The sausage making is a really fun thing to and easy to teach people.
Yeah. But it's a skill.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But compared to some things which are for like a pâté en croûte that takes so much time, over so many days.
Yeah.
But also sourdough bread to some extent, don't have the patience to teach it. But sausage making is something that anybody can just get their hands dirty with straight away.
Yeah. Sausage school.
Yeah.
And I think also what is nice to pass down is like taste.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the best taste?
Mm-hmm.
And that they can like absorb that as well.
Yeah.
Like they can do the skill, but if like if everything's well balanced, you have to learn that as well.
Mm.
Like if you've never made a sausage, like what do you want? The mouthfeel and stuff like that. It's very nice and it's still just a sausage.
Yeah.
But you can put a lot of effort in it.
Definitely.
If you could pass on like one feeling or thought for the next generations of chefs, what would that be?
Know when to stop. So don't keep doing something because you don't want to anymore.
Yeah.
It's never too late to go and do something else. So if you're a chef or you're a butcher or anything and you just hate it, just stop doing it.
Yeah.
Go and do something else.
Yeah. Just say no.
Yeah. I was super lucky at Pig and Ride that I recognized the moment when I was done.
Yeah.
When I just wasn't enjoying it anymore. Actually, I was in London in 2024 in January with my son, and we went across a road. We were at the traffic lights, and somebody had put a sticker on the pole of the traffic lights, and this was January, like the 10th or something.
Yeah.
And the sticker said, big letters, it said, New Year, same cunt. And I thought, yeah. New Year, same cunt.
Yeah.
Let's do something else.
Yeah. Best decision?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we are both in the same ship. I don't know how you say it in English, but know when to stop, say goodbye and go on and do whatever makes you happy.
Just do something that makes you happy.
Yeah, but try before.
Mm.
So I think that's also a very valuable lesson. Don't stop until you reach like a certain point. I was
lucky enough to be in a position that I could sell the restaurant and leave reasonably quickly and have a financial buffer that I didn't have to be in trouble or immediately find a new job or something like that. So I was in a very lucky position.
Yeah.
Even if you own your own restaurant, some people are running the most spectacular restaurants and they're just miserable.
Yeah.
I know, we're not going to say any names, but I know people who are really not doing well. And I see this and I think, like, why don't you just go and do something else.
Yeah, they think maybe doing well financially is the thing.
Yeah.
I think it's very, very nice if you have a financially a good restaurant, but if the rest makes you miserable, stop, quit, travel, whatever the fuck you want, but don't do it.
Yeah.
We have a partner for this season. It's Tabby. It's a platform that helps hospitality and entrepreneurs work smarter and more efficiently.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, that's very good. But what has been the most valuable learning for you to work smarter or more efficient in your place?
From making bread, being in a production scenario, the only way you can be more efficient is to buy a machine that does it for you.
Yeah.
Or do it yourself instead of having somebody slower making them for you.
Well, maybe there's one for the sausage machine. It can be a little
bit definitely.
More. Yeah, that could be very efficient and smart.
The one we used yesterday, my old sausage machine, is not very smart.
It's not very smart. No. So we need another sausage machine.
Mm.
Yeah, that would be very efficient and smart. Yeah, we're almost at the end of our fabulous podcast.
Yeah.
But like I said before, you have a joke book.
I did. I brought my joke book with me.
I've seen your threads, and I think it's the best. Yeah, here, look. Black book.
Yeah. I'm just going to start, I guess.
Yeah. Do it.
My wife asked if I'd seen the dog bowl. I said I didn't know he could. Did you see they discovered a mummy in Egypt that was covered in chocolate and hazelnuts?
No.
Ferrero Rocher.
Can do two more.
Two more, wow.
Yes, please.
The police came around last night. They said the dog's been chasing someone on a bike. I said, I don't think it's my dog. He doesn't have a bike. I was at a Vietnamese restaurant last night. I got so drunk, they banned me.
No when to stop.
That's it. I'm done.
Mic drop. I'm out. Thanks much. We're gonna cook. Ho, wacht even. Mag ik nog een klein minuutje van je? Je kan ons namelijk helpen door Heirloom te volgen op je favoriete podcast-app en YouTube. Oh ja, en deel ons dan gelijk even via Instagram. Thanks voor het luisteren naar de Heirloom podcast. Dit eerste seizoen is mede mogelijk gemaakt door onze partners Tabby en Botan.